Jensen had to stop him. This was finally her chance. The voice, too, urged her on. This time she didn't try to put the voice down. This time she let it fan the flames of her burning lust for vengeance. This time she let it fill her with the overwhelming need to kill Richard Rawl. They raced past tall doors lining the hall. Each of the deep-set windows that flashed by had a small window seat. The walls were faced with frame and panel wood, painted a shade of white warmed with a bit of rose color to it. As they came to the intersection of corridors and rounded the corner, Jensen didn't really notice the elegant silver reflector lamp centered in each of those panels. She saw only the bloody handprints smeared along the walls, the long splashes of blood on the polished oak floor, the disorderly tangle of still bodies. There were at least 50 of the burly assault soldiers scattered haphazardly down the hall, each burned, many ripped open by flying glass and splintered wood. Most of the faces weren't even recognizable as such. Shattered rib bones protruded from blood-soaked chainmail or leather. Along with the weapons that lay scattered, the hall was awash with gore and loose intestines, making it look like someone had spilled baskets of bloody, dead eels. Among the bodies was a woman, one of the sisters. She had been nearly torn in two, as had been a number of the men, her slashed face set in death, with a fixed look of surprise. Jensen gagged on the stench of blood, hardly able to draw a breath as she followed Sebastian, jumping from one clear space to another, trying not to slip and fall on the human viscera. The horror of what Jensen was seeing was so profound that it didn't register in her mind. At least, it didn't register emotionally. She simply acted, as if in a dream, not really able to consider what she was seeing. Once past the bodies, they followed a trail of blood down a maze of grand halls. The distant sound of men shouting drifted back to them. Jensen was at least relieved to hear the Emperor's voice among them. They sounded like hounds locked on the scent of a fox, baying insistently, refusing to lose their prey. "Sir!" a man called from far back through a doorway to the side. "Sir, this way!" Sebastian paused to look at the man and his frantic hand signals, then pulled Jensen into a resplendent room. Across a floor covered with an elegant carpet of gold and rust-colored diamond designs, past windows hung with gorgeous green draperies, a soldier stood at a doorway into another hall. There were couches like none Jensen had ever seen, and tables and chairs with beautifully carved legs. While the room was elegant, it was not imposingly so, making it seem like a place where people might gather for casual conversations. She followed Sebastian as he ran for the soldier at the door on the opposite side of the room. "It's her!" the man called to Sebastian. "Hurry, it's her! I just saw her pass by!" The hulking soldier, still trying to catch his breath, sword hanging in his fist, peeked out the doorway again. Just before they reached him, as he peered down the hall, Jensen heard a dull thump. The soldier dropped his sword and clutched at his chest, his eyes going wide, his mouth opening. He fell dead at their feet, no sign of any wound. Jensen pushed Sebastian up against the wall before he could go through the doorway. She didn't want him encountering whatever had just dropped the soldier. Almost at the same time, from the way they had come, she heard the snapping hiss of something otherworldly. Jensen dropped to the floor, stretching out over Sebastian, holding him against the edge of floor and wall as if he were a child to be protected. She closed her eyes tight, crying out with fright at the thunderous blast behind her that shook the floor. A barrage of rubble shrieked through the room. When it finally went still and she opened her eyes, dust drifted through the destruction. The wall around them was peppered with holes. Somehow, she and Sebastian were not hurt. It only served to confirm what she already believed. "It was him!" Sebastian's arm shot out from under her to point across the room. "It was him!" Jensen turned but saw no one. "What?" Sebastian pointed again. "It was Lord Rawl. I saw him. As he ran past the door, he cast in a spell of some kind, a pinch of sparkling dust just as you pushed me against the wall. Then it exploded. I don't know how we survived in a room filled with such flying debris." "I guess it all missed us," Jensen said. The room had been turned inside out. The draperies were shredded. The walls hold. The furniture that only moments before had been so beautiful was now a wreck of splinters and ripped upholstery. The rumpled carpet was covered in white dust, pieces of plaster, and splintered wood. A hanging chunk of plaster broke away and crashed to the floor, raising yet more dust as Jensen made her way through the wreckage of the room. Toward the door they had come through, the door where Sebastian had pointed, the door where only moments before Lord Rawl had been. Sebastian retrieved his sword and quickly followed her out. The hall, its woodwork so tastefully painted, was now smeared with blood. The body of another sister lay crumpled not far away. When they reached her, they saw her dead eyes staring up at the ceiling in surprise. "What in the name of creation is going on?" Sebastian whispered to himself. Jensen thought, by the look on the dead sister's face, that she must have wondered the same thing at the last instant of her life. A glance out the window showed a killing ground littered with thousands of bodies. "You have to get the Emperor out of here," Jensen said. "This isn't the simple thing it appeared." "I'd say it was a trap of some kind, but we might still be able to carry out our objective. That would make it a success, make it worth it." Whatever was happening was outside her experience and beyond her ability to comprehend. Jensen only knew that she intended to carry out her objective. As they raced down the halls, chasing the sounds and following the trail of bodies, they worked their way deeper into the mysterious confessor's palace, away from any outside windows, to where the air was hushed and gloomy. The deep shadows in the halls and rooms where little light penetrated added a frightening new dimension to the terrifying events. Jensen was well past shock, horror, or even fear. She felt as if she were watching herself act. Even her own voice sounded remote to her. In some distant way, she marveled at the things she did, at her ability to carry on. As they cautiously rounded an intersection, they encountered a few dozen soldiers, hunched in the shadows, just inside a small room, bloodied, but alive. Four sisters were there, too. Jensen spotted Emperor Jagang, leaning against a wall as he panted, his sword gripped tightly in a bloody fist. As she rushed up, he met her gaze, his black eyes filled not with the fear or sorrow she expected, but with rage and determination.
"We're close, girl. Keep that knife out and you'll get your chance."
Sebastian moved off to check other doorways, securing the immediate area, several men moving at his direction when he gave them silent hand signals. She could hardly believe what she was hearing or seeing. "Emperor, you have to get out of here," he frowned at her.
"Are you out of your mind?
We're being cut to pieces. There are dead soldiers everywhere. I saw sisters back there ripped open by something."
"Magic," he said with a wicked grin.
She blinked at that grin. "Excellency, you have to get out of here before they have you too." His grin vanished, replaced by red-faced anger.
"This is war. What do you think war is? War is killing. They've been doing it, and I intend to do it back twice over. If you don't have the guts to use that knife, then put your tail between your legs and run for the hills, but don't ever ask me to help you again."
Jensen stood her ground. "I'll not run. I'm here for a reason. I only wanted you out of here so the Order would not lose you, too, after they've already lost Brother Narev." He huffed in disgust.
"Touching."
He turned to his men, checking that they were paying attention.
"Half take the room on the right just ahead. The rest stay with me. I want them flushed out into the open."
He swept his sword before the faces of the four sisters.
"Two with them, two with me. Don't disappoint me now."
With that, the men and sisters split in two and quickly moved off, half through the room at the right, half charging after the Emperor. Sebastian gestured urgently for her. Jensen joined him, running at his side as they raced out into the smoky hall after the Emperor.
"There he is," she heard Jagang call from up ahead. "Here, this way, here."
And then there was a thunderous blast so violent it took Jensen's feet from under her, sending her sprawling. The hall was suddenly filled with fire and fragments of every sort, rebounding off the walls as it all came flying toward them. Snatching her arm, Sebastian yanked her up and into a recessed doorway just in time to miss the bulk of the flying objects that came careening past. Men up the hall let out screams of mortal pain. Such unbridled wails sent shivers up Jensen's spine. Following Sebastian, the two of them ran through thick smoke toward the screams. The dark, in addition to the smoke, made it difficult to see very far, but they soon encountered bodies. Beyond the dead, there were still some men alive, but it was clear by the ghastly nature of their wounds that they would not live long. The last moments of their lives were to be spent in horrifying agony. Jensen and Sebastian scrambled past the dying, through the carnage and rubble piled knee-deep from wall to wall, looking for Emperor Jigang. There, among the splintered wood, leaning boards, overturned chairs and tables, glass shards and fallen plaster, they spotted him. Jigang's thigh was laid open to the bone. A sister stood beside him, her back pressed to the wall. A huge splintered oak board had been driven through her, just below her breastbone, pinning her to the wall. She was still alive, but it was evident that there was nothing to be done for her.
"Dear Creator, forgive me. Dear Creator, forgive me," she whispered over and over through quivering lips.
Her eyes turned to watch them approach.
"Please," she whispered, blood frothing from her nose. "Please help me."
She had been close to the Emperor. She had probably shielded him with her gift, deflecting whatever power had been unleashed and saved his life. Now she was shivering in mortal agony. Sebastian lifted something from under his cloak behind his back. With a mighty swing, he brought his axe around. The blade slammed into the wall with a resounding thunk and stuck. The sister's head tumbled down, bouncing through the dusty rubble. Sebastian yanked once, freeing his axe. As he replaced it in the hanger at the small of his back, he turned and came face to face with Jensen. She could only stare in horror into his icy blue eyes. "If it were you," he said, "would you want me to let you endure such suffering?" Trembling uncontrollably, unable to answer him, Jensen turned away and fell to her knees beside Emperor Jigang. She imagined he had to be in frightening pain, but he hardly seemed to notice the gaping wound, except that he knew his leg wouldn't work. He held the two sides of the wound closed as best he could with one hand, but he was still losing a lot of blood. With his other hand, he managed to drag himself to the side, where he leaned against the wall. Jensen was no healer and didn't really know what to do, but she did realize the urgent need to do something to stop the gushing blood. His face streaked with sweat and soot, Jigang pointed with his sword down a side hall.
"Sebastian, it's her. She was just right here. I almost had her. Don't let her get away."
Another sister wearing a dusty brown wool dress came clambering over the rubble, stumbling toward them in the darkness, passing all the groaning soldiers.
"Excellency, I heard you. I'm here, I'm here, I can help."
Jigang nodded his acknowledgement, one hand resting on his heaving chest.
"Sebastian, don't let her get away. Move!"
"Yes, Excellency."
Sebastian took note of the sister climbing awkwardly over a broken side table, then pressed a hand to Jensen's shoulder. "Stay here with them. She'll protect you and the Emperor. I'll be back." Jensen snatched for his sleeve, but he had already dashed away, collecting all the remaining men on his way past. He led them off down the hall, disappearing into the darkness. Jensen was suddenly alone with the wounded Emperor, a sister of the light, and the voice. She snatched up the end of a strip of sheer curtain and pulled it out from under the rubble.
"You're losing a lot of blood. I need to close this as best I can."
She looked up into Emperor Jigang's nightmare eyes.
"Can you help hold it closed while I wrap it?"
He grinned. Sweat coursed down his face, leaving streaks through the dusty grime.
"It doesn't hurt, girl. Do it. I've had worse than this. Be quick about it."
Jensen started threading the filthy curtain under his leg, wrapping it around and under again as Jigang held the gaping wound closed as best he could. The fine fabric almost immediately turned from white to red with all the thick blood flowing across it. The sister put a hand to Jensen's shoulder as she knelt down to help. As Jensen continued wrapping, the sister laid her hands flat on each side of the massive gash in the meat of his thigh. Jigang cried out in pain.
"I'm sorry, Excellency," the sister said. "I have to stop the bleeding or you'll bleed to death."
"Do it then, you stupid bitch. Don't talk me to death."
The sister nodded tearfully, clearly terrified by what she was doing, yet knowing she had no choice but to do it. She closed her eyes and once more pressed trembling hands to Jigang's hairy, blood-soaked leg. Jensen pulled back to give her room to work, watching in the dim light as the woman apparently wove magic into the emperor's wound. There was nothing to see at first. Jigang gritted his teeth, grunting in pain as the sister's magic began to do its work. Jensen watched, spellbound, as the gift was actually being used to help someone instead of causing suffering. She wondered briefly if the Imperial Order believed that even this magic used to save the life of the Emperor was evil. In the murky light, Jensen saw the blood pumping copiously from the wound abruptly slow to an oozing trickle. Jensen leaned closer, frowning, trying to see in the shadows as the sister, now that the bleeding was nearly stopped, moved her hands probably to start the work of closing the Emperor's terrible wound. Leaning close as she watched, Jensen heard Jigang suddenly whisper,
"There he is."
Jensen looked up. He was staring off down the hall.
"Richard Rall, Jensen, there he is, it's him."
Jensen followed Emperor Jigang's gaze, her knife gripped in her fist. It was dark in the hallway, but there was smoky light down at the far end, silhouetting the figures standing in the distance watching them. He lifted his arms. Between his outstretched hands, fire sprang to life. It wasn't fire like real fire, like the fire in a hearth, but fire like that out of a dream. It was there, but somehow not there. Real, but at the same time unreal. Jensen felt as if she were standing in a borderland between two worlds, the world that existed and the world of the fantastic. Yet the lethal danger that the wavering flame represented was all too clear. Frozen in dread, squatted down beside Emperor Jigang, Jensen could only stare as the figure at the end of the hall lifted his hands, lifted the slowly turning ball of blue and yellow flame. Between those steady hands, the rotating flame expanded to look frighteningly purposeful. Jensen knew that she was seeing the manifestation of deadly intent. And then he cast that implacable inferno out toward them. Jigang had said that it was Richard Rall down at the end of the hall. She could only see a silhouetted figure casting out from his hands that awful fire. Oddly enough, even though the flame illuminated the walls, it left its creator in shadow. The sphere of seething flame expanded as it flew toward them with ever-gathering speed. The liquid blue and yellow flame looked as if it burnt with living intent. Yet it was, in some strange way, nothing, too.
"Wizard's fire!"
the sister shrieked as she sprang up.
"Dear Creator, no!"
The sister ran down the dark hall toward the approaching flame. With wild abandon, she threw her arms up, palms toward the approaching fire, as if she were casting some magic shield to protect them, yet Jensen could see nothing. The fire grew as it shot toward them, illuminating the walls, ceiling, and debris as it wailed past. The sister cast out her hands again. The fire struck the woman with a jarring thud, silhouetting her against a flare of intense yellow light so bright that Jensen threw an arm up before her face. In a heartbeat, the flame enveloped the woman, smothering her scream, consuming her in a blinding instant. Blue heat wavered as the fire swirled a moment in midair, then winked out, leaving behind only a wisp of smoke to hang in the hall, along with the smell of burnt flesh. Jensen stared, thunderstruck by what she had just seen, by a life so cruelly snuffed out. Off down at the end of the hall, Lord Rall again conjured a ball of the terrible wizard's fire, nursing it between his hands, urging it to grow and expand. Again he cast it outward from lifted arms. Jensen didn't know what to do. Her legs wouldn't move. She knew she couldn't outrun such a thing. The howling sphere of roiling flame tumbled down the hall, wailing toward them, expanding as it came, illuminating the walls it passed, until the burning death spanned from wall to wall, from floor to ceiling, leaving no place to hide. Lord Rall started away, leaving them to their fate as death roared down on Jensen and Emperor Jigang.
Chapter 49. The sound was horrifying. The sight of it was paralyzing. This was a weapon conjured for no reason but to kill. This was deadly magic, Lord Rawl's magic. This time there was no Sister of the Light to intercept it. Magic, Lord Rawl's magic. There, but not. In the last instant before it was on her, Jensen knew what she had to do. She threw herself over Emperor Jigang. In that fraction of a second before the fire was upon her, she covered him with her body where he lay at the edge of the floor against the wall, protecting him as she would a child. Even through her tightly closed eyes, she could see the brilliant light. She could hear the terrible wail of the tumbling flames howling around her. But Jensen felt nothing. She heard it roaring past her, thundering off down the hall. She opened one eye to peek out. At the end of the corridor, the orb of living fire exploded through the wall, coming apart in a shower of liquid flame, sending a hail of blazing wood out onto the lawn far below. With the wall gone, the hall was better lit. Jensen pushed herself up.
"Emperor, are you alive?"
she whispered.
"Thanks to you."
He sounded stunned.
"What did you do? How could you not—"
"Hush," she whispered urgently. "Stay down, or he'll see you." There was no time to waste. It had to be ended. Jensen sprang up and ran down the hall, knife in hand. She could now see the man standing there in the smoky light at the end of the hall. He had stopped and turned to stare back at her. As she raced toward him, she realized that it couldn't be her half-brother. This was an old man, a collection of bones in dark maroon and black robes with silver bands at the cuff of the sleeves. Wavy white hair stuck out in disarray, but did not diminish his air of authority. Yet he stared in shock at seeing her racing toward him, as if hardly believing it, hardly believing she had survived his wizard's fire. She was a hole in the world to him. She could see understanding flooding his hazel eyes. Despite his kindly look, this was a man who had just killed countless people. This was a man doing Lord Rawl's bidding. This was a man who would kill more people unless stopped. He was a wizard, a monster. She had to stop him. Jensen held her knife high. She was almost there. She heard herself screaming in rage like the battle cries she had heard from the soldiers as she plunged forward. She understood those battle cries now. She wanted his blood.
"No!" the old man called to her. "Child, you do not understand what you're doing. We don't have time. I don't have a moment to spare. Stop. I can't delay. Let me—"
His words were no more to her than those of the voice. She ran through the rubble, littering the hall, as fast as her legs would carry her, feeling the same sense of wild but deliberate fury she had in her house when the men had attacked her mother, and then her, that same fierce commitment. Jensen knew what she had to do, and knew she was the one to do it. She was invincible. Before she reached him, he cast one hand out toward her, but lower than he had before. This time, no fire erupted. She didn't care if it did. She would not be stopped. She could not be stopped. She was invincible. Whatever he did caused the debris at her feet to suddenly shift, as if he'd given the whole lot of it a mighty shove. Before she could jump clear, one foot tangled in the debris, breaking through the jumble of broken plaster and lath. Rumpled carpeting and wreckage of furniture ensnared her ankle. With a surprised gasp, Jensen pitched violently forward. Pieces of wood and plaster flipped dust and debris up in the air as she crashed to the floor. Her face hit hard, stunning her. Small chunks and scraps rained down on her back. Dust slowly rolled away. Her face stung with dizzyingly intense pain. Jensen listened to the voice calling to her to get up, to keep moving, but her vision had narrowed down to a tiny spot, as if she were looking through a soft, fuzzy tube. The world looked dreamlike through that tunnel of sight. She lay still, breathing the settling dust until it coated her throat, unable even to cough. Groaning, Jensen was at last able to push herself up. Her vision was rapidly returning. She began coughing, hacking, trying to clear her windpipe of the choking dust. Her leg was jammed down among the tangle of debris. She was finally able to pry a board to the side, giving her room to pull her foot free. Fortunately, her boot had prevented the splintered wood from slicing her leg. Jensen realized her hands were empty. Her knife was gone. On her hands and knees, she rummaged madly through the wreckage of wood, plaster, and tangled fabric of draperies, throwing things aside, searching for her knife. She thrust her arm under a nearby overturned table, groping blindly. With the tips of her fingers, she felt something smooth. She groped along it until she touched the ornately engraved letter R. Grunting with the effort, she shouldered the leg of the overturned table until the whole mess grated as it moved a little. At last she was able to reach in far enough to pull her knife free. When Jensen was finally able to scramble to her feet, the man was long gone. She went after him anyway. When she reached the intersection of passageways, a quick look revealed only empty halls. She ran down the corridor she thought he had taken, looking in rooms, searching alcoves, making her way ever deeper into the murky palace. She could hear people in the distance, soldiers yelling for others to follow them. She listened for Sebastian's voice, but didn't hear him. She heard, too, the sound of magic being unleashed, like the crack of lightning, only indoors. It sometimes shook the entire palace. Sometimes, too, the screams of dying men could be heard. Jensen chased after the sounds, trying to find the man who had loosed the wizard's fire, but found only more empty rooms and passageways. Some places were littered with dead soldiers. She couldn't tell if they had been there from the first or had been left in the wake of the fleeing wizard. Jensen heard the sound of running soldiers, their boots rumbling through corridors, and then she heard Sebastian's voice call out, "That way! It's her!" Jensen raced for an intersection and turned down a hall, running off in the direction she had heard Sebastian's voice. Her footfalls were muted by a long green carpet with gold fringe running the length of a grand corridor. It was all the more startlingly beautiful after coming out of ruined areas. A window overhead lit the variegated brown and white marble columns that supported arches to each side, like silent sentinels watching her race by. The palace was a maze of corridors and exquisite chambers. Some of the rooms Jensen cut through were lavishly furnished in muted tones, while yet others were decorated with carpets, chairs, and draperies in a riot of colors. She dimly noted that the grand sights were astoundingly beautiful, as she concentrated on not getting lost. She imagined the place as a vast forest, and noted landmarks along the way so as to find her way back. She had to help get Emperor Jigang to safety. Racing down the wide passageway lined with granite recesses in the walls to each side, each holding a delicate object of one kind or another, Jensen burst through double gold-bound doors into an enormous chamber. The sound of the doors rebounding echoed back from the room beyond. The size of the place, the splendor of the sight, caught her up short. Overhead, rich paintings of figures in robes swept across the inside of the huge dome. Below the majestic figures, a ring of round windows let in ample light. A semicircular dais sat off to the side, along with chairs behind an imposing carved desk. Arched openings around the room covered stairways up to curving balconies edged with sinuous, polished mahogany railings. Jensen knew by the imposing architecture that this must be the place from where the Mother Confessor ruled the Midlands. All the seating up the balconies must have provided visitors or dignitaries a view of the proceedings. Jensen saw someone making their way among the columns on the other side of the chamber. Just then, Sebastian burst through another door not far to Jensen's right. A company of soldiers funneled through the doors after him. Sebastian lifted his sword, pointing, "There she is!" He was nearly out of breath. Rage flashed in his blue eyes. "Sebastian!" Jensen ran to his side. "We have to get out of here. We need to get the Emperor to safety. A wizard came and the sister was killed. He's alone. Hurry!" The men were fanning out, a jangling dark mass clad in chainmail and armor and gleaming weapons spreading around the edge of the vast chamber like wolves stalking a fawn. Sebastian heatedly pointed his sword across the room. "Not until I have her. Jagang will at last have the mother confessor." Jensen peered off to where he pointed and saw then the tall woman across the room. She wore simple, coarsely woven flaxen robes decorated at the neck with a bit of red and yellow. Her black and gray hair was parted in the middle and cut square with her strong jaw.
"The mother confessor," Sebastian whispered, transfixed by the sight of her.
Jensen frowned back at him. "Mother confessor?" Jensen couldn't envision the Lord Rawl wedding a woman as old as his great-grandmother.
"Sebastian, what do you see?"
He flashed a smug look.
"The mother confessor."
"What does she look like? What's she wearing?"
"She's wearing that white dress of hers."
His heated expression was back.
"How can you miss her?" "She's a beautiful bitch,"
a soldier on the other side of Sebastian said with a grin, unable to take his eyes from the woman across the room.
"But the Emperor will be the one to have her."
The rest of the men, too, started across the room with that same disturbing, lecherous look. Jensen seized Sebastian by the arm and yanked him around.
"No," she whispered harshly. "Sebastian, it's not her."
"Are you out of your mind?"
he asked as he glared at her.
"Do you think I don't know what the mother confessor looks like?"
"I've seen her before,"
the soldier beside him said.
"That's her, all right."
"No, it's not,"
Jensen whispered insistently, all the while tugging at Sebastian's arm, trying to get him to pull back.
"It must be a spell or something, Sebastian. It's an old woman. This whole thing is going terribly wrong. We have to get out."
The soldier on the other side of Sebastian grunted. His sword clattered to the marble floor as he clutched his chest. He toppled like a tree that had been felled and crashed to the floor. Another soldier, then another fell. Thump, thump, thump. They hit the floor. Jensen put herself in front of Sebastian, throwing her arms around him to protect him. The room exploded with a blinding flash of lightning. The sizzling arc twisted through the air, yet it unfailingly found its mark, raking down the line of men running out around the edge of the room, cutting them down in an instant. Jensen looked over her shoulder and saw the old woman cast a hand out to the other side toward men and a sister, charging across the room straight toward her. The soldiers, struck down by an invisible power, dropped in their tracks one at a time. Their heavy, crumpled bodies slid across the slick floor, a short distance when they collapsed in mid-stride. The sister cast out her hands, Jensen assumed to protect herself with magic of some kind, although she could see nothing of it. But when the sister again thrust out an arm, Jensen not only saw but could hear light forming at the tips of her fingers. With all the soldiers down, all but Sebastian dead, the old sorceress turned her full attention on the attacking sister. With weathered hands, the old woman warded the attack, sending the thrumming light back on the sister.
"You know you have but to swear allegiance, sister," the old woman said in a raspy voice, "and you will be free of the dreamwalker."
Jensen didn't understand, but the sister surely did. "It won't work. I'll not risk such agony. May the Creator forgive me, but it will be easier for us all if I kill you."
"If that be your choice," the old woman rasped, "then so be it."
The younger woman started to cast her magic again, but fell to the floor with a sudden cry. She clawed at the smooth marble, trying to whisper prayers between grunts of terrible agony. She left a smear of blood on the marble, but before getting far, she stilled. Her head sank to the floor as she expelled one long, last rattling breath. Knife in hand, Jensen ran for the murderous old woman. Sebastian followed, but had taken only a few steps when the woman wheeled and cast a shimmering light at him, just as Jensen stepped into her line of sight. Only that prevented the streak of glimmering light from hitting him square. The light glanced off his side in a shower of sparks. Sebastian fell with a cry.
"No, Sebastian!"
Jensen started for him. He pressed his hands to the side of his ribs, clearly in pain. If hurt, at least he was alive. Jensen swung back to the old woman. She stood immobile, her head cocked, listening. There was confusion in her manner and a curious kind of awkward helplessness. The sorceress wasn't looking at her, but instead had an ear turned to her. Being a little closer now, Jensen noticed for the first time that the old woman had completely white eyes. Jensen stared, at first from surprise, and then with sudden recognition.
"Addie?"
she breathed, not having intended to say it out loud. Startled, the woman cocked her head the other way, listening with her other ear.
"Who be there?"
the raspy voice demanded.
"Who be there?"
Jensen didn't answer for fear of giving away her exact location. The room had gone silent. Worry wore heavily on the old sorceress's weathered face, but determination, too, set her jaw as her hand lifted. Jensen gripped her knife in her fist, not knowing what to do. If this really was Addie, the woman Althea had told her about, then, according to Althea, she would be completely blind to Jensen. But she was not blind to Sebastian. Jensen crept a step closer. The old woman's head turned to the sound.
"Child, do you be a sister of Richard? Why would you be with the Order?"
Maybe because I want to live."
"No."
The woman shook her head with stern disapproval.
"No. If you be with the Order, then you have chosen death, not life."
"You're the only one intent on bringing death."
"That be a lie. All of you came to me with weapons and murderous intent," she said. "I did not come to you."
"Of course, because you defile the world with your taint of magic," Sebastian called from behind. "You would smother mankind and slave us all with your wicked ancient ways."
"Ah," Addie said, nodding to herself. "It be you, then, who has deluded this child."
"He saved my life. Without Sebastian, I would be nothing. I would have nothing. I would be dead, just like my mother."
"Child," Addie said in a quiet rasp, "that too be a lie. Come away from them. Come with me."
"You'd love that, wouldn't you?" Jensen shrieked. "My mother died in my arms because of your Lord Rawl. I know the truth. The truth is that you'd love to deliver the prize plum to Lord Rawl at last."
Addie shook her head. "Child, I don't know what lies be filling your head, but I do not have the time for this. You must come away with me, or I cannot help you. I cannot wait a moment longer. Time be in short supply, and I have used all I have."
As the woman spoke, Jensen used the opportunity to take small, quiet steps forward. She had to take this chance to end the threat. She knew she could take this woman out. If it was only a matter of muscle and skill with a knife, then Jensen would have the distinct advantage. A sorceress's magic was useless against someone who was invincible, against a pillar of creation.
"Jen, take her! You can do it! Avenge your mother!"
Jensen was still only a quarter of the distance from Sebastian to Addie. Knife held tight, she took another step.
"If that be your choice," Addie rasped in hearing the whisper of the footstep, "then so be it."
When the sorceress lifted her hand out toward Sebastian, Jensen realized with horror what she meant. The price of her choice was that Sebastian would be forfeit. Chapter 50. Sebastian was on the floor not far away, leaning to the side, propping himself up on one arm. Jensen saw blood on the marble floor under him. Since Addie couldn't stop Jensen, she intended to finish him as the price. The appalling reality of seeing Sebastian in pain, of knowing he was about to be murdered, shook Jensen to her very soul. Sebastian was all she had. The sorceress was but a blink away from loosing lethal magic on him. Jensen was a great deal closer to Sebastian than to the sorceress. Jensen knew she would never be able to reach the sorceress in time to stop her, but she might make it to Sebastian in time to protect him. She could only kill the sorceress if she were willing to forfeit Sebastian to do it. That was the choice Addie had given her. Jensen abandoned her attack and instead dove for Sebastian, putting herself in the woman's line of sight, making a hole in the world where she was trying to aim her terrible conjured fire. The magic the sorceress loosed missed Sebastian, raking crackling lightning across the polished marble floor, ripping it up in a line right beside him. The air was filled with a burst of flying stone shards. Jensen scooped Sebastian protectively into her arms as she fell to his side.
"Sebastian, can you move? Can you run? We have to get out of here."
He nodded.
"Help me up."
His voice was labored, his breathing shallow. Jensen ducked her head under his arm and strained with the effort of lifting him to his feet. With her help, they hurriedly worked their way toward the door. Behind, Addie lifted her hands again, her white eyes tracking Sebastian's movements, if not Jensen's. Jensen twisted sideways, putting herself in the way. A blast of lightning laced past, missing them by inches, blowing the heavy metal-clad door off its hinges. The door went skittering down the hall. Jensen and Sebastian scuttled through the smoking opening and hastened down the wide hall. Jensen realized as she watched the heavy doors crashing down the hall, bouncing off walls, tearing out great chunks of stone, that if something like that hit her, she would be crushed. She noticed, too, that her arm was bleeding from small cuts from the stone shards that had struck her. It wasn't magic that had done it, but sharp stone, even if the sharp stone had been sent flying by magic. She might in some ways be invincible, but if magic toppled a massive stone column on her, she would be just as dead as if it had been pushed over by brute strength instead. Dead was dead. Jensen suddenly didn't feel so invincible. At the first intersection, she took them to the right, getting Sebastian out of the line of sight of Addie's gift and her weapons of magic as quickly as possible. Jensen could feel his warm blood running over the arm she had around him. Despite his injury, Sebastian didn't ask her to slow to spare him any pain. Together they rushed through halls and rooms as fast as he was able, crossing the palace, going back toward where Jensen had left the Emperor.
"Are you hurt bad?"
she asked, fearing the answer.
"Not sure," he said, nearly out of breath and clearly in pain. "Feels like there's a fire burning in my ribs. If you wouldn't have prevented her from hitting me square on, I'd be dead for sure."
As they moved through the palace, they came across a squad of their men. Jensen collapsed next to them, panting, exhausted, unable to hold Sebastian up another step. Her leg muscles trembled from the exertion.
"We're leaving," Sebastian told the man, his breathing labored with pain. "We have to get out of here. The Emperor is hurt. We have to get him out of here."
He motioned in different directions. "Some of you go each way. Collect all our men. We need to get everyone we can to protect the Emperor, and then we have to get him back to safety. You too. You'll have to help me." The bulk of the men immediately rushed off to their tasks. The two remaining behind threw Sebastian's arms over their shoulders and easily lifted him. He winced in pain. Jensen led them through the palace, watching for the landmarks she remembered, desperate to reach Emperor Jigang and to get out of the death trap of a palace. The Confessor's palace was a confusion of halls, passageways, and rooms. Some of the rooms were huge, but when they came to such places, they went around, staying to the maze of passageways. Sebastian said they didn't want to be caught in one of those big rooms where they would be an easier target. Intermittently, Jensen heard the awful thump of magic. Each time, the entire palace shuddered with the concussion. "This way," she said, recognizing the yawning breach in the wall at the corner of a passageway strewn with rubble. That gaping hole through the outer wall, looking out to daylight and overlooking the lawns far below, was where the wizard's fire meant for her and Emperor Jigang had blasted through. Five soldiers made their way down the hall from the other direction, climbing over the tangled debris, bringing a sister of the light with them. From behind, nearly a dozen more men appeared. Two sisters, their faces streaked with soot, came through a nearby room to the side, followed by yet more of the assault force. Half the men were bleeding, but all of them were able to move under their own power. Emperor Jigang was sitting up against the wall where Jensen had left him. The deep, jagged gash was partly being held together by the curtain Jensen had wrapped around his leg, but the meat of his muscle wasn't aligned properly, and the terrible wound clearly needed attention.
It appeared that the healing magic performed by the sister just before she had been killed still held. And at least the Emperor wasn't still losing blood the way he had been. The blood the Emperor had lost left him weak-looking and pale, but not as pale as the faces of those who, for the first time, saw the seriousness of his injury. One of the sisters knelt down to check his wound. Jigang winced when she tried to better align the two halves of his split leg. "There's no time to heal it now," she said. "We'll need to get him to safety first." She immediately set to tightening the bandage of blood-soaked curtain that Jensen had started to apply. She snatched up more cloth from the rubble.
"Did you get her?"
Jigang asked as the sister worked at pulling the injury closed with the filthy strip of cloth.
"Where is she, Sebastian?"
He used a board to lever himself upright, peering this way and that around the company of soldiers as they helped Sebastian make his way through to the Emperor.
"There you are. Where's the Mother Confessor? Did you get her?"
"It isn't her," Jensen answered in his place.
"What?"
The Emperor glanced around angrily at the people watching him.
"I saw the bitch. I know the Mother Confessor when I see her. Why didn't you get her?"
"You saw a wizard and a sorceress," Jensen told him. "They were using magic to make you think you were seeing Lord Rawl and the Mother Confessor. It was a trick."
"I think she's right," Sebastian put in before Jigang could scream at her. "I was standing right beside her, and while I saw the Mother Confessor, Jensen didn't."
Jigang turned a dark scowl on her.
"But if the others saw her, how could you not?"
Understanding seemed to come over him. For some reason that Jensen couldn't exactly fathom, he suddenly recognized the truth in her words.
"But why?"
the sister tending the Emperor's injury asked, looking up from her work of bandaging the wound.
"Both the wizard and the sorceress seem to be in a hurry," Jensen said. "They must be up to something."
"It's a diversion,"
Jigang whispered, staring off down the empty hall littered with rubble.
"They wanted to keep us occupied, keep us away and busy thinking about something else."
"Keep us away from what?" Jensen asked.
"The main force," Sebastian said, catching Jigang's line of thought. Another sister, casting surreptitious glances to the other sisters after inspecting Sebastian's wound, worked quickly at pressing a padded bandage against his rubs and then wrapping a long strip of cloth around his chest to hold it in place.
"This will only help for a short time," she muttered, half to herself. "This is not good."
She glanced again to the other sister. "We're going to need to tend to this. We can't do it here." Sebastian winced in pain, ignoring her, then spoke.
"It's a trick. They keep us here, puzzling over where they could be, kept us chasing after illusions while they attack our main force."
Jigang growled a curse. He looked off, out the hole the wizard's fire had blasted in the wall, peering out toward the army they had left a long ride back down the river valley. He clenched his fist and gritted his teeth.
"That bitch! They wanted us busy so our main force would be sitting in place while they attacked that filthy, scheming bitch. We have to get back."
The small force moved quickly through the halls. Jigang was carried with a man under each arm, as was Sebastian, so that they could make quick progress back out of the Confessor's palace. Sebastian was looking worse. Along the way, they gathered up more of their men. Jensen was astounded that there were still any others alive. Compared with the force they had come in with, though, they had been cut to pieces. Had they all stayed together rather than the way the Emperor and Sebastian continually divided them up, they might have all been killed at once. As it was, the Order would still have to leave behind a great many dead. Once on the lower level, they worked their way along service halls toward the side of the palace, Sebastian advising that it would be best not to go out by the main entrance where they had entered, for fear that such a move might be expected, and they very well could be struck down before they could get away. Everyone moved as silently as possible through the empty kitchens, emerging to a gray day in a side courtyard. It was secluded with a wall screening it off from the city.